Reading comes from Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through to 16, verse 10. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Topic today is falling out and forgiving. And you've been looking at the missions of the Apostle Paul. How many of us have fallen out with people? I'm going to put my hand up. Because I'm definitely not going to be religious about it. I've fallen out with people. And sometimes they've fallen out with me as well. And when you fall out with people, different things happen. Or can happen, can't they? A friend once told me that he fell out with his brother and they had a fight. And their stepdad was watching this fight very keenly. So they fell out, came to blows, fought one another, and stepdad, rightly or wrongly, looked on. And when they finished fighting each other, he smacked both of them. And he said to the younger one, "I'm smacking you because you didn't win." And he said to the elder one, "I'm smacking you because you shouldn't have picked a fight with your younger brother." Disagreement right there and then. Another friend of mine told me that she went to this funeral. And you know what, funerals and weddings and all of that kind of thing, people have good things to say about each other, even if you haven't spoken to the person in years. At funeral, they'll say how wonderful you were and how nice you were, and perhaps give lots of flowers. Well, this is what happened at this funeral. Until the son got up to do the eulogy, and he said, "My mum was very difficult. That's why you, auntie, I don't know why you came up and said those things, because you fell out with her. And you weren't talking for years." And he said a few other things. But he said, "One thing about my mum, though, is that you always knew where you stood with her. So even though you'd fall out with people, she'd fall out with people, you'd know where you stood with her." And this is a little bit about when we have, like when we have disagreements in the church. Sometimes in the church, we tend to be very non-confrontational. We like to sweep things under the carpet and not address issues. Somebody said to me the other day, and they've, you know, become quite a good friend, actually, said to me, "Oh, Lola, I don't see your colour at all." So I said, "Oh, have you become colourblind?" So she said, no, it's just that, she said, "I've put my foot in it, haven't I? I don't want to fall out with you." I said, "No, you're not going to fall out with me. But what you really say is that you're not putting any attachment to my colour. Let's get that right." And then we had a real deep and meaningful conversation and moved on from it. And what could have been a real kind of hairy situation became something that we confronted, moved on, and we forgave. Does that make sense? Now, there's something about disagreeing in the kingdom of God. And when I first read the scripture that was given to us, one of the things that struck me was about the unique distinction of God's love. You see, God's love is not purely emotional. And when we look at Acts chapter 15, 36, and then we go on to 16:10, we realize that Paul had a disagreement. The apostle Paul had a disagreement with his colleagues. And there was a bone of contention because John Mark had left them in a situation. And then they wanted to take him on this journey with them again. And Apostle Paul was having none of it. And he really didn't want John Mark to come with them. And one version of scripture says that the contention among them was so sharp. So they probably parted quite angrily. But then when we look at the second scripture that's been given to us, we find that the same Apostle Paul, who was upset, and I'm talking about in Timothy now, actually recommends John Mark because he says that he's useful for ministry. Now that's a disagreement there and then, isn't it? And so the person who he didn't want to come on that particular journey, in Timothy, he's now recommending. Interesting. Well, I thought it was interesting. What I want to say is this. Timothy was one of the Apostle Paul's almost protege. He mentored Timothy, he mentored Titus, and there were other mentees that he had. But let's focus on Timothy. He gave Timothy some advice, and he said, "Let no one despise your youth." He was talking about ageism. Sometimes as young people, you are often thought to be misguided. Sometimes you're thought to not have any sense and not have enough experience to be put in certain positions. Us older folks do that. And I've hit the older folk age group now, sad to say. And my sons keep reminding me that I've hit that age group, and they often hope that I'm not going to go downhill too rapidly. I keep saying things. And so Timothy was special to him. And when you look at the instruction that he gives Timothy, you realize that he is special to him. And so he wouldn't be recommending someone that he didn't think was capable, someone that he wouldn't trust, someone that he didn't think would have the ability to be put in such a position. He wouldn't want this person to interfere with this special young person who he'd been training and mentoring and coaching and advising throughout scripture. But let me leave that there for a moment and tell you a little bit about the different kinds of disagreements and agreements. There are honest disagreements and there are dishonest agreements. What do you think I mean? Well, if any of you have ever been in management or even as a minister of a church, I've been in this position many times. I've been in board meetings when there are people disagree with me and they tell me there and then that they disagree with me. They probably say, Lola, you shouldn't have ate all those donuts. It's not any good for you. Okay. And they'll tell me there and then in the meeting that they disagree with me. Then there is another contingent that will say, yes, Lola. Yes, Reverend Lola. Three bags full, Reverend Lola. Yes, I agree, Reverend Lola. And as soon as they are out the door, I didn't agree with her at all. That is a dishonest agreement. What I'd really like are for the people who disagree with me to tell me why they disagree with me so that I can possibly learn from their disagreement. And tell me in a way that I can hear it. The second thing is, disagreements are often challenges. And they can be prophetic challenges for our growth. Where do I get this from? Well, if we look in the period of the Bible where there was the dispensation of the prophets, and you find that Isaiah, Jeremiah had to constantly challenge and they were never in agreement with the status quo. They were in disagreement, but the challenge that they posed was a prophetic challenge, a challenge where they could see far ahead and they wanted their contingent of people to grow spiritually and to hear God's voice. And so they weren't always in agreement with the status quo. So they themselves presented a challenge. When we look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah was called, he was often teased, and he was called the weeping prophet because he wept. Strange guy, really. But he wept and lamented over his people. And then he had a priest who's supposed to be working with him called Peshur, who's one of the most disagreeable characters in that portion of scripture. And in the end, Peshur was the one who threw Jeremiah into a pit. And so we see that there is disagreement, but there is a challenge for growth, and there is also the prophetic challenge that causes us to hear God's voice and to grow when we understand the word of God, believe the word of God, and act on the word of God. So disagreements are sometimes challenges. Let's go on a bit further. Creative people often do things contrarily. And I'm allowed to say that because I think I'm creative. And when we were growing up with my mum, she used to say she's got 3 eccentric children. One who would kind of like be in their own world of technology, break things down, and then she'd come back to find that he dismantled the television. And then, you know, everybody is on tender hooks until the television's put back together. And it always would be put back together. And then there was another one who would just basically be totally different, had a different approach to life. And who was quite academic, quite bright, but very eccentric. And then there was me, right in the middle of my 2 brothers, into my music, creative writing, all of that kind of thing. And often, the bedrooms wouldn't be tidied up, it wouldn't be, we'd be in that kind of mess, and Mum would say, look, you've got to try and do these things in a way. They'd be done, but not in the way that she'd expected it to be done. And so often creative people create a challenge because they do things differently. They don't do things in the way that is expected of them. And that can cause disagreements and falling out if you don't understand that kind of principle and learn to love them in a way that God loves each and every one of us. There is something that I've come up with and call unconscious disagreement. It means that we're in a state where we really don't know what we're doing. We're not in alignment. And because of the Adamic sin, we were taken out of alignment. And so we were in unconscious disagreement. And through Jesus, we had to be brought back into a conscious and honest agreement. We had to be reconciled with God. Reconciled to God so that we could participate in his grace. And the scripture says his grace is sufficient to keep us. And it is his grace that has brought us back into agreement with God. We fell out. Because of Adam, we fell out. We'd fallen into sin. And there was a separation and a partition. But through Jesus and the grace of God, we have now come back and become conscious. And become conscious of the agreement that Jesus has brought us in. Things that can cause disagreements are with my friend, cultural thing, the way she saw me. And then I challenged her in saying that she didn't really see me in that way. There can be language barriers. Someone I know was learning to speak Italian because because her husband was Italian, and she went to Italy for the first time and was having, you know, having a family meal. And she thought that her father-in-law was insulting her because she didn't understand the word that he said. She mistakenly thought he'd said something else. And so stormed off and separated herself from that family meal. So her husband then ran after her and said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" And she said what she thought he'd said. He said, "No, he was saying to them, leave her alone and let her choose her own food." But she thought he'd said something totally different because of that language barrier. Language barriers can sometimes cause disagreement and cause falling out because we've heard something in a way that it shouldn't be heard. We've heard someone say something in a way that it wasn't meant to. And so that causes a barrier, causes misinterpretation. Agreements and disagreements and falling out are fueled by intent. I was at a conference all last week and I had to do a session on diversity with the steering group that I'm a part of. And they were asking me all kinds of questions and they were saying, "Lola, well, suppose this and suppose that and I suppose that." I said, and it was mainly around language. They were wanting to be politically correct. And I said, "You know what? Let's put aside political correctness and let's think about your intent. What do you intend to do? What do you intend to say? What are your actions portraying? What is it that's in your heart that wants to come out? If it's the love of God that wants to come out in your heart, then even if you said the wrong word out of context, your intent will show. Actions speak louder than words." So agreements and disagreements and falling out are fueled by intents. I'm getting to the point, don't worry. And I'll soon stop. Godly disagreements can be restorative. And it gets back to my first point. That you can disagree with someone and you can agree to disagree without all the horrible, nasty stuff that has to go with it. You can agree that you don't like miniskirts. Well, I wouldn't wear a miniskirt here, not while I'm preaching anyway. I'd want people to be focusing on the word. And you like midi skirts. We can agree to disagree without slagging each other off because one likes a mini skirt and one likes a midi skirt. Black trousers. Some people like wearing black trousers all the time. Others prefer shorts. Because you disagree on what you wear, doesn't mean that there has to be any negative content around that. Because this is how God's love operates. You can agree, you can interpret things differently, but God's love is potent enough and his grace is potent enough to leave us both standing whole in a disagreement. When we fall out, we need to forgive as well. Sometimes we don't forgive. We don't think it's necessary to forgive. But forgiveness helps us more than it does the other person. And it is a process. And the love of God is a decision. It's not just an emotional state, but it's a decision and it is action. So when I disagree and when I fall out, I make the decision that I am still going to be my brother's or my sister's keeper because I'm walking in God's love. I'm walking in God's agape love. And this is what we see in Timothy in that chapter, that Paul, even though he was angry because John Mark had left them, he still recognized that John Mark was a gift to the body of Christ. He still recognized that John Mark was useful to ministry. Often when we fall out with people, we push them aside. We no longer recognize their gifts. We no longer think about who they are and what they can offer. All we focus on is the reason we fell out with them. But God's love asks us to look beyond that. God's love asks us to, even though we may have a falling out, that we still need to recognize each other as gifts in the body of Christ. I have a phrase. We are all gifts and we all have gifts. Amen. So in summary, what am I saying today and what have I said? And he says, oh, here she goes again. We can fall out. We can fall out. We can be irritated with each other. Yes. I'm sure that Pauline's a really, really long-standing friend. Steve is a long-standing friend, and I'm sure there are times when they've wanted to hit me over the head. But the thing is, they still love me. They still walk in God's love, and they still recognize the gift that I am and the friend that I am, even though I've, you know, there've been a hairy moments where, you know, could have pulled what little hair they have out because of how I've acted or how I've been and how, what I've possibly done. But God expects us to walk in his love. And that is the foundation of disagreements and falling out. That we need to still walk in God's love. And we need to make a conscious decision to do that. Well, I ain't going to speak to her again. She stepped on my toe. I ain't going to speak to her again. She insulted my family. But yet, she's the best one that cleaned my house for me. She's the best one that actually is an administrator at church. He's the best one that has the technical knowledge to do all the technical bits in the service. But yet, I'm not going to let him do that because he stepped on my corn toe. God expects much of his people. And my closing remark is this. Disagree, forgive, love, and move on. Amen.